2 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 15 through 27. This is the reading of God's word. In this confidence, I intended at first to come to you so that you might twice receive a blessing. That is, to pass your way into Macedonia and again from Macedonia to come to you, and by you to be helped on my journey to Judea. Therefore, I was not vacillating when I intended to do this, was I? Or what I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, so that with me there will be yes, yes and no, no at the same time? But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but is yes in him. For as many as are the promises of God, in him they are yes. Therefore also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It is the only thing that clearly shows what your Son has done and accomplished for us. Let us, but because you have granted an ear to hear your word, let us hear your word. Let us hear your voice through your word, telling us the wonderful stories of Jesus Christ and showing us who we are in Christ because of what he has done and accomplish for us. Oh Father, as we receive your word, bless us that we may produce the righteous fruits of heaven to bring glory and honor to you. We pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We begin today from verse 15. Let me read to you verse 15 and 16. And, you know, whenever I preach, before I start preaching, I read you the passage today. Is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 15 to 22. Whether I am successful today depends on whether you understand what verse 15 through 22 says. And when you do understand what it says and you believe, then we are successful. So that's the focus. Try to listen and understand what God is telling you through these verses. That's what is purpose for you and me to hear his word. Sometimes we kind of lose that focus. It's not, you know, this interesting sermon or great sermon. It's all about you understanding what God says to you through these verses. Verse 15, in this confidence, I intended at first to come to you so that you might twice receive a blessing. That is, to pass your way into Macedonia and again from Macedonia to come to you and by you to be helped on my journey to Judea. Now, we're going to learn more in detail the sequence of events what really happened, and we're going to do that by using 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians and other places. So if it is not really clear right now, it's okay. You will be after next time. So what happened here, just based on, you know, what we're reading, Paul had a plan to visit the Corinthian church twice to share God's grace with the congregation. Now, even before he plans to visit Corinthian church twice, he has already visited and all that. We're going to go further than that and, you know, give you a whole picture next time. But just stay within these verses. What Paul is saying is that I have planned to visit you twice. Once on the way to Macedonia and second time when I come back. But this plan changed. And we'll learn more in detail what he will tell us, why this plan has changed. And that's going to be more clear next time also. But he was not able to visit the Corinthian church like he planned here. And the false teachers and the people who are opposing Paul use this opportunity to discredit Paul and his message. They were saying things like, his word and his actions do not match. He says one thing and does another. He acts rashly. He is a flippant person. He says yes and no in the same breath. Obviously, he said he's going to come, but he doesn't show up. He cannot be trusted. Thus, and this is the point, his message cannot be trusted. And some of the congregation started to listen to this and started to doubt and distrust Paul. Now, from verse 12, we saw last time, of chapter 1 to chapter 2, Paul explains why the plan had to be changed. It is not that he says one thing and does another, but he did not go because it is actually better for them that he did not go. And he will explain that more in a later verses than what we read today. And Paul was saying it was ultimately God's will that he did not go. Verse 12a, Paul says that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world and especially toward you. So it's not that he was not sincere or he just says yes and no at the same breath. No, in holiness and godly sincerity, in grace of God, he conducted himself toward the Corinthian church congregation. Now, there is one thing we must understand before we look at what Paul says in our passage. In telling the Corinthian church how he acted according to God's will and in holiness and sincerity that are from God in dealing with them, Paul's interest is not just defending his integrity. He is not just defending himself. That is never his purpose. Paul really does not care what other people say about him. He doesn't. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3a, but to me it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. That Paul be examined by anybody, it is very small thing, he says. Meaning what? It's not a big thing. It does not matter. So obviously, Paul doesn't really care what, you know, nasty things that people say about him. Galatians chapter 10, verse 10, "For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." So first understand that this is not just about Paul wanting to defend himself. Oh, you know, people are misunderstanding me, so I need to let them know that I'm not that kind of person. That is not the purpose here, okay? That's the first thing you must understand, because Paul just doesn't care what people say about him. Then in defending his integrity, then what is Paul doing? What is his purpose? What Paul really wants to do is to defend the gospel that he preaches. The truth. That's what he wants to defend. He could endure forever if the attack is against him. But he cannot just let it happen and watch if the attack is on the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Because if it's attack on me, it's pretty much true. You know, no matter what people say about me, I'm actually worse than that. Thank God that all those people, you know, who have many problems with pastor, you know, me, and then they decide to go to another church, at least they say that what I teach is correct. That's why I don't feel necessary to defend anything. Because everything they say about me, I'm worse than that. I have no problem accepting that. But if they attack the gospel, then that's a completely different story. But that's what was happening. These people were saying, Paul cannot be trusted. Thus, what he says, what he preaches, cannot be trusted. See, this is a different situation. So, understand what Paul is doing. And, you know, we need to learn from Paul. It's not about defending ourselves. You know, whatever people say about you is probably true, and you are actually worse than what they say. We're all like that. It's not just me or, you know, everybody's like that. So if we want to talk about, you know, you're bad or come on, just, we're all bad. We're all sinners. So, you know, but this attack is on the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keeping quiet when the gospel is being attacked is false humility. You know, some people act like they're so humble. So even when the gospel is attacked, they keep silent. That's false humility. We must fight the good fight when it comes to keeping the truth, defending the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ and Heaven OPC, we must do this, defend the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing we must defend. Anything else, it just doesn't really matter. God knows the truth. God knows the situation. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to, you know, justify what God already knows. But defending the truth is a different matter. And that's what Paul is doing. However, even in defending his integrity, Paul is really different from this sinful world, from ordinary, simple people. How might a worldly person defend himself? Well, a worldly person will defend something like this in telling others why the plan had to be changed. A worldly person will tell others in detail what had happened. From the beginning to the end, he will tell others to convince that he is not a flippant person. And in order to convince that he would show this example and that example. That's what might go about defending himself. Now, you know, in the world, that is not wrong. I mean, what is wrong with telling everybody what really happened so that you will convince these people that, hey, I'm not that kind of person. But Paul, even in defending his integrity, his focus is never about defending himself. So even doing this, he's actually using the gospel to defend his integrity. He's not interested in telling exactly what happened so that they will be convinced that Paul is a good person. That's never his purpose. And, you know, we might not even like complain about those kind of person. I mean, what is wrong with that? You know, you need to show others, hey, that's not what happened. This is what really happened. I'm not that kind of person. Hey, you know, it's okay. But Paul does not do that. Verse 17, therefore, I was not vacillating when I intended to do this, was I? Or what I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, so that with me there will be yes, yes and no, no at the same time? When I did not visit you, was I doing that according to the flesh? And do I say yes, yes and no all at the same time? No, I did not do that. And then Paul says, verse 18, but as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. You know, he says, I didn't do that. But the reason that he gives is that God is faithful. God is faithful. And this is Paul's explanation of what happened. Now, this is a very, very important point. You must understand this. We need to understand what Paul is doing so that we may do the same. Yeah, I mean, you don't expect this, you know. Did I do that, having two minds at the same time? You know, was I trying to say one thing and do other? No, and you might hear, oh, so he's going to explain to us what will happen or whatever, but very surprising. He says, God is faithful. Huh? God is faithful. What is Paul doing? Verse 19, for the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus, or Silas, same person, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but is yes in him. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whom we preached to you, was not yes and no at the same time. There is only yes in him. Verse 20, for as many as are the promises of God, in him they are yes. Therefore, also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Now, all of a sudden, defending his integrity, Paul preaches the gospel. Now, you know, at the end, and more so next time, it will be very clear what Paul is doing. We need to understand, you know, his understanding. What is he understanding, and why does he say this kind of stuff, even as he defends his integrity? Because he was defending the gospel. But what he's saying is that, hey, God is faithful. He doesn't say yes and no at the same time. Actually, in Jesus Christ, every promises of God is yes. And only yes. Now, if you truly understand that our God is sovereign God, and he planned everything before the foundation of the universe, and he had a plan for you, and that plan will be accomplished exactly as he planned. God is faithful. So whatever that happens, you must trust him. He never says yes and no at the same time. So whatever Paul had done, it doesn't mean that God changed his mind concerning you. If he wanted to make you like Christ, even if a pastor like me do some stupid things, God will make you like Christ. God is faithful. And what Paul is actually doing is that even in his ministry, the success of his ministry depends upon the faithfulness of God. Otherwise, who could do these things? Now, first thing we need here is very, very important. For as many are the promised of God, in Christ all are yes. Now, this gospel, you need to understand this what Paul is saying here. Then everything will make sense. All the promises of God from the Old Testament, all the promises of God that God has promised to his people are completely and perfectly fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, there is no promise of God that has not been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God's yes. God's amen. Amen is yes. Jesus is God's Amen. Is a yes. The eternal salvation that God promised is yes in Jesus Christ. Eternal heaven that God promised is yes in Jesus Christ. The eternal kingdom of God is yes in Jesus Christ. The eternal life, the eternal joy, the eternal rest, eternal peace that God had promised these people, all are yes in Jesus Christ. It's already accomplished, and one day it will all be visibly consummated. You and I being like more and more like Jesus Christ is yes in Jesus Christ. The eternal fellowship with our God, all are yes in Jesus Christ. All have been already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, all these promises that God made to His people, even when I'm so sinful, it is still yes in Christ. Everything that God promised, even when I'm so sinful, even when I'm so dumb and stupid, even when I'm so hopeless and shameful, even when I sin every day, they are still yes in Jesus Christ. All that God promised is amen in Christ. You know, even when the attacks of this world are so strong and many, even when the attacks of Satan are so strong and many, all are yes in Christ. All are amen in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ is God's yes, God's amen. Yes, we could talk about how lacking we are, or how stupid we are, or this sin and that sin we commit, and how, you know, feeble our faith is, whatever you say, God's promise to you is yes in Christ. And now we are united to Christ. Thus, verse 20b, therefore also through Jesus is our amen to the glory of God through us. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we too are God's yes and God's amen. All of God's promises are yes in Jesus Christ, and we are the witnesses of that reality. When everyone looks at us at the day of Christ, when everyone will see, all of God's promises are yes in Jesus Christ. They cannot deny that when that day comes. When you and I stand before God in that day of Jesus Christ, when you and I are glorified and in God's image is perfected in us, no one is able to deny that in Christ, all God's promises are yes. You and I will be witnesses
of that reality. Really? Is everything yes in Christ? And they're going to see us and say, oh, yeah, it is. I'm going to stand there as a God's amen. That's why whenever you hear God's word, you say, amen. Because it's literally, you are his amen. Because every promise that God made to you, perfectly, completely accomplished in you. Yes. In Jesus Christ, we too are God's yes and God's amen. Verses 21 and 22, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. God establishes us with you together in Christ. God anointed us and sealed us and gave us the Holy Spirit. Do you see it? Our triune God, the God the Father and the God the Son and the God the Holy Spirit, accomplishes all for us, his people. Our triune God makes sure that all of God's promises that are yes in Jesus Christ will be yes in us. Did you hear that? One more time. Because I would like to hear this a million times. Our triune God, God makes sure, he makes sure that all of God's promises that are yes in Jesus Christ will be yes in us. It is God's faithfulness that will accomplish this. So that's what Paul says. He starts out by saying, God is faithful. All is accomplished and all are being accomplished and all will be visibly consummated. Paul understands this and believes this, and everything that he says and do are according to this faith. He is united to this faithful God, and through his faith that God gave him, he lives this wonderful life in which he is becoming more and more like God, who is faithful. Because God is faithful, I will be faithful. Even him dealing with others, he trusts God who is faithful, and that faithful God faithfully works, then he knows he will be faithful. Do you understand what Paul is doing? You have to understand what drives Paul. What he understands and believes. Everything he says is according to what he believes. And he believes in this faithful God. who Paul is and how Paul is and what kind of life Paul lives, Paul finds all the answers in Jesus Christ. He participates in God's faithfulness through his faith. He lives out God's faithfulness. And such a life is a witnessing the faithfulness of God. And you and I, we will. And we are already witnesses of that faithfulness of God. We must look to our God who is faithful. Our God who has faithfully accomplished all of his promises. We must trust him. We must imitate him. You must believe. You must believe that you are a faithful person in Christ before you're ever going to be faithful. You must believe. Because if making you faithful is God's plan before the foundation of the universe, and if this God is faithfully working in you, do you have any doubt that you are faithful? You will be faithful? But when you look at your life, I understand I'm just like you. I'm far from it. And you know, and I know, we're hopeless. So we just be discouraged and just die? All promises of God is yes in Christ. This is what Paul is doing. He's causing this Corinthian church to trust God who is faithful. God will not leave you alone. He will not forsake you or leave you. He works, even now. And his plan is already accomplished in Christ, and it's being accomplished, and it will be completely, perfectly consummated. That's why he says in chapter 3, verse 5, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. Do you understand, brothers and sisters? Our adequacy is from God. And you must believe. Not only that God is faithful to you, but you must also believe that God will be faithful to my brother and to my sister. So when I look at myself, but I still hope, I'm still confident that God will finish his work, but not only when I look at myself, but when I look at you, I need to trust that faithful God who is working also in you. We need to do this. So when you see your pastor doing some stupid things, saying some stupid things to hurt you, trust the faithful God. If God has called me to be your pastor, if that is his will, then his will be done, and he will make you like Jesus Christ, even through the stupid things that I do. And it's not just to excuse my stupid things. No, that is not what Paul is doing. It's not, okay, so I do stupid things, but, you know, all this, so it's okay. No, I'm not saying that. But even that issue, God will take care of if he is with me, and if he is working in me, then he will make me more like Christ. You must believe that. So, brothers and sisters, it's not the stupid things we do. What is important is whether the truth is defended in this church and whether this truth is preached and taught. That's the issue. If that happens, then brothers and sisters, trust God. All is yes in Christ. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, maybe you are saying to yourself, you know, you look at your life and you look at what happens in your life, and maybe you say to yourself, how come this is happening? Whatever that will be, you say, why is this happening? Why am I this way? Why do I do this and why I don't do that? And what is this? What is that? Whatever is happening in your life, as long as you trust Jesus Christ, as long as you believe in him, does a church that teaches and preaches the gospel, a church that defends the truth is so important. But if you trust in Christ, remember this. All of God's promises are yes in Jesus Christ. No matter what your situation is, no matter what is happening in your life, remember, all of God's promises to you is yes in Christ. And if all those promises are yes, then there is no problem. Just endure, even with joy, and you will see that all are yes in Christ. Even if it is not visible, remember all of God's promises are yes in Jesus Christ. Thus in you they are all yes. God will use you as a proof that all God's promises are yes in Jesus Christ. But before we end, let us just think about this, this little thing here. Well, I don't think it's so little, but our Lord Jesus Christ, when he lived his 33 years of his life here, to Jesus, not only God's blessings, but also God's judgment are yes. Sin has to be judged by God. So when you look at the Old Testament, God says, if you obey, then I will bless you. If you don't, then I will judge you. So in Jesus Christ, not only blessings of God is yes, but also judgment of God is yes. That's why he dies on the cross. He dies, bearing our sins. So that Only the blessings of God will be yes to his people. No judgment. Do you see what God has done for you? So now in Jesus Christ, only the blessings. When I say all the promises of God is yes, but all, you know, his judgment is also God's promise. But see, that judgment was yes in Christ, so he was judged instead of us. So that when I say all the, you know, promises of God is yes in Christ, I'm saying now, because of Christ, all the promises, but only the blessings are yes. Because judgment was already yes in Christ long time ago. He already received it. For you and I, blessings are yes. Let us rejoice, brothers and sisters. As I don't know, you know, your situation that well, you know, before you came into this worship, maybe you had problems. Maybe you worry. Maybe you don't know why it's happening, or you don't understand. But as we go back to that situation, nothing has changed. Things might get worse, but as you go back to that situation, let us remember that all promises of God is yes in Jesus Christ. So that we may endure this life that God wants us to live. Endure even with joy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that all your promises are yes in Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is your yes and your amen. And in him, we too have become your yes and your amen. Oh, Father, let us live this glorious life that you have given to us. Whenever we hear your word, we say yes, amen. For whatever you have promised is yes in Christ, and that is also yes in us because of what Christ has done. So, Father, let your people live this glorious life, always shouting, amen to your word. Amen to your will. To witness that we are your yes and your amen in Jesus Christ. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.